let's just worship Him once again. Holy hands unto you to worship with the Holy God. Indeed, holy are you, O God. We worship you, Father. We honor your presence in our midst. We do not take it for granted. We welcome you, Father. Mighty, what is man that thou art mindful of him? Or we, the sons of men, that you once again visit us? We worship you, Father. Lord Jesus, the Holy One of Israel, we honor you. We welcome your presence. We thank you for your grace that is the atmosphere once again to feed us under the covering of our fathers. We worship you, Lord Jesus. We exalt your name. Lord Holy Spirit, the Holy One of Israel, we honor you. The strength of Israel that can never lie. We commit this service into your hands. Come and glorify the name of Jesus. Come and testify of him and cause us sons of men to be blessed. As we go into the world this evening, Father, I humble myself under your mercy. I duck under the covering of my said spiritual fathers, pastor and mommy, and I ask for fresh mercy. I ask for fresh grace to help to minister effectively this evening as an oracle of God. As what goes forth, it will go forth in power, in accuracy, in simplicity, and the comfort and love will be in power to break yokes in our lives. Because our wills become more humble, our minds will further enlighten by revelation knowledge, and our emotions to be further controlled by the power of the Spirit. As I speak, Lord, help me to speak as an oracle of God to bring out of the treasure of your word both things that are new and old, as a scribe instructed unto the kingdom. Help me to redeem the time of things that are necessary, so that at the end of the day we'll have all praise and all the glory to give unto you, our God, in Jesus' name. Praise the Lord.
Holy, 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 you, Lord.
Praise the Lord. Playing that in the background. The title of my message this evening is Say to the Cities of Judah. Let's say it together. Say to the cities of Judah. Isaiah chapter 40 verse 9. Isaiah chapter 40 verse 9. You begin to ask yourself this question. Why will God send a message to the cities of Judah? Why not Ephraim? Why not the entire Israel? We will see as we go along. Praise the Lord. Are we all there? Let's all build together. O Zion, that bringest good tidings, get thee up into the high mountain. O Jerusalem, that bringest good tidings, say, lift up thy voice with strength. Lift it up. Be not afraid. That is, be bold about it. Say unto the cities of Judah, behold your God. You see, God has raised up and is raising up an end time apostolic and prophetic ministry, and has given them one message that they should go and herald the message. That's what it means by the good tidings. You know, he said they should go to the top of a mountain. That is what we are doing by the grace of God, using every available opportunity, every available avenue to scream and to shout that word, behold your God cometh. And God is saying to these people you are sent forth that don't be afraid, be bold. You see, it takes boldness to declare what has not happened. The Bible says that God called it, the faith calls those things that be not as though they were, and so they begun. It is in the process that we begin to declare what the Spirit of God is saying to the churches, that it will come to pass. So here it says, say to the cities of Judah. As it goes, say to the cities of Judah, what? Behold, say, behold, your God what? Cometh. So we are talking about the cities of Judah today. So I put it as a God has raised up his messengers, the apostolic and prophetic ministries, to herald his coming in us in perfection and fullness. If we are not talking about his coming for us at the rapture, as we've been taught, he's going to first of all come in us in perfection and fullness. Christ in you, the hope of glory, Colossians 1. And then he's going to come for us at the rapture. Then we are going to come with him for the millennial reign. Those are the three sets of comings that we're expecting. But the one that is imminent now is the coming in us in perfection and fullness, of which is imminent the manifestation, we're expecting manifestation of the glory of God. Are you with me? So that's what we are expecting to occur now. So God has raised up his apostolic and prophetic ministries with the children or those that are under them to herald this coming. If I get ahead of myself, that is what you do each time you send out those messages that come daily. You are heralding his coming. Because these are messages that are geared towards preparing God's people for his coming. And you find that in your sending, even though you broadcast the word, you find that you are starting people that you send it to. So people will ask us, please, I need that message. Why? Those are the cities of Judah. Praise the Lord. So they are being sent to prepare the people of God for what? The Lord that is coming. Isaiah 41 verse 27. Thank you, Lord, Holy Spirit. Isaiah 41 verse 27. Are we there? Say, the first, let's get it. The first shall say to Zion, behold, say, behold, behold them, and I will give to Jerusalem one that bringeth good tidings. Before I explain this scripture, I find that there are two beholds there. One speaks about John the Baptist. The other speaks about this company of people that God is raising up. One are they taking place? The other one is taking place as we talk. Isaiah 41 verse 27 in NIV. In NIV, please, just to explain what I'm trying to say. Let's look at that. I was the first to tell Zion, say, look, look, means behold. Hear what they are. So he's talking about the company of people. I gave Jerusalem a messenger of good tidings. Now that good tidings is that the Lord is coming. And like I said, the first herald came to John the Baptist. So the announcement that John the Baptist made, he didn't make it in Bethlehem. It was when he appeared in Jordan and he said in John chapter 1 verse 29, he says, behold the Lamb of God that taketh away the sins of the world. That was the moment that the spirit of that major came upon him. Are you following me? So what's that? We're not talking about Bethlehem here. The church has been growing and growing and growing. We're at that place now where you see this second set of people. I said, look, here they are. These are those that have turned the world upside down. So I've said, behold, speaks of a company of messengers who have been sent to herald the good tidings. And that good tidings, like I said, is that the Lord is coming in us in perfection and fullness with the manifestation of his glory. Praise the Lord. Like I said, it's a company of people. Say, I and the children that God has given me are for signs and wonders. It's a company. In times past, you find people trying to call themselves Elijah to come. And they missed it because they made a mistake that some great men of God in those that God raised up. They could not, I'm not criticizing them, but they did not rightly divide the word. So they were calling themselves Elijah to come to let people into your world. But it is not one Elijah. It's a company of people with a perfect leadership and a fully submitted followership. You need to understand. That's why we're going to get it that when Elijah was on top of Mount Carmel, he said, come unto me. I follow him. He said, come. He said, come unto me. So it's a company of people. And God has privileged us to be part of that company that will herald this coming. Praise the Lord. So I put it here. The message is very simple. I said that behold, the Lord cometh. You know, that is behold means like we taught, look into and see. See by revelation. If you're looking at natural, you're not going to see anything. That's why they were sent specifically to the house of Judah, to the cities in Judah. We'll see as we continue. Let's read Isaiah 53, read from verses 3 to 4. It's an announcement. And God is saying to every one of us, be bold about it. Go to the very top of the mountains. That speaks of what is going on already. Everywhere, this, where people can hear you, go. Scream, take every available avenue to declare the message. Behold, your God cometh. Are we there? Isaiah 35, I think 35, verse 3. 35, verse 3 says, strengthen ye, let's begin, strengthen ye the weak hands, and confirm the feeble knees. Next verse. Say to them that of a fearful heart, be strong. Fear not, behold, your God will come with what? Vengeance. Even God with the recompense, and he will come and he will save you. He's coming in us in this hour is a sure banker. That is why we can stand boldly. You see, when you begin to see it, you're going to talk with confidence. The confidence I had last year, that I have now, is stronger than the confidence I had last year. Because it's clear to me. Even though I'm preaching a message, but I can see it because I see it. And then, under the covenant of fathers, when they come and they teach and they open up scriptures and I go back to the Berean Christians, I begin to say, it's true. It's actually going to come. So I no longer observe lying vanities. Like my infirmities, things that will tell that, is it possible to happen in your time? In your body? Because I look from the scripture, but say, heaven and earth shall pass away, but my word shall not pass away. Praise the Lord. So that is the season we are in. And like I put it just to explain, we should know, because we've been very taught by our parents, pastor and mommy. Cities in the Bible speaks about churches. Anytime you read the Bible and you see cities, not all the time, but they usually speak about churches. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 22, especially Zion. Hebrews 12, 22, just to put it in the background for some of us that may be hearing this message for the first time. Say, but you are come unto where? Mount Zion. And unto what? The city. Say, the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem, and to an innumerable company of angels. So anytime you see cities in the Bible and you're reading the Bible, these are some of the things that keys that pastor, mommy, they've taught us, Papa Ralph, or these are keys that you need to, when you're reading your Bible and you see city, don't just read city. As you begin to ponder those people, open your eyes. Because the Old Testament contains the details of your prophetic destiny. You begin to understand, like when the master told, when they go to prepare the Passover, and he told the man, he said, go into the city and see a man with a pitcher. He said, follow him. Just to digress a bit. When you see that, you now understand, he's not talking about going to a literal city. Papa Raph said it years ago. He said, go to a city, say this, speak of a church. See a man in Israel in those days, was women that carry pitchers. So he said, when you see a man carrying a pitcher, this speak of life of God, follow him. Those are the people you follow. I follow my train of thought. So I begin to read your Bible, you're not just reading in outer court light. We begin to understand that everything in the Bible is prophetic. Praise the Lord. Let's move on. So I put it, I said, why the cities of Judah? Let's ask ourselves, why the cities of Judah? Why not Ephraim? Why not Manasseh? Why did God single out Judah? One, we all know that Lord Jesus Christ came from the tribe of Judah. God chose it just by election. I follow him. So let's just put the scripture in Revelation chapter 5, verse 5. 5:5 talks about, said, the lion of the tribe of Judah. See, and one of the elders said unto me, weep not, behold, the lion of the tribe of Judah, the root of David. As we, what I want to say, that we all know, just to put the scripture behind it, the Lord Jesus Christ came from the tribe of Judah. It's not an accident that he came from the tribe of Judah. I follow him, Genesis chapter 49, verse 10. So we see some, everything that applies to the Lord Jesus Christ applies to you. You know why? Because you are his body. You and I are his body. I follow my train of thought. The Bible says that if one member is hungry or is suffering, then the other, we all suffer together. That is why you can have confidence that the same measure, the spirit, that measure that came upon him will come upon you. I follow my train of thought. So anything you read about Lord Jesus Christ, the only thing that does not concern you is that you are not going to die and go to hell. Nobody can do that one. But every other thing that he did, that's why he said, the works that I do shall you do, and then greater. So every scripture that applies to the master applies to you. That's why if you will follow on to know the Lord. So don't just see the master in a class of his own. He's in a class of his own. But we have been destined that the end time comes, the 42nd generation, to manifest that same glory and to do the works that he did. And because of the company of his company, greater works. Praise the Lord. Genesis chapter 49, verse 10. Okay, it says, the scepter shall not depart from Judah, nor a lawgiver from between his feet until Shiloh come. So the scepter can't depart just because Jesus Christ has been born. I'll find my train of thought. It cannot depart. It's still going to come forth. That's why he's making the announcements to the tribe of Judah. Micah chapter 5, verse 2. Micah 5, 2. Talking about Lord Jesus, also applies to us. But thou, Bethlehem, Ephrathah, do thou be little strength. Begin to lean the scriptures again. Among thousands in of Judah, yet out of it shall come forth unto me, that is to be ruler in Israel, whose goings forth have been from of old, from everlasting. See, a ruler shall come out of where? Bethlehem, Judah. He applies to Lord Jesus Christ. Revelation chapter 12 talks about the man child. He says that when he's caught up to heaven, say, is what? Is to rule. All nations with the rod of iron. Are you following me? So it's not only talking about the master here. Yes, it is true. The master has fulfilled his part. There is a body, the body of the master, that is coming into prominence that also fulfill this same scripture. Praise the Lord. Let's have that. So that is why the announcement was sent to Judah. Now, we're not talking about the Judah that is in the land of Israel. Israel, no. He's not talking about the company of people. I will begin to unravel it as we see, because we are talking, the Bible says, say to the cities of Judah. The second point is this. It was Judah that first made David king. Who is the type of Jesus Christ? It's when all Israel, before all Israel were following Saul, after Saul died, it was Judah that first came and made David king. 2 Samuel chapter 2 verse 1. 2 Samuel chapter 2 verse 1. We're still going to come back to Micah later. And it came to pass after this, that what? David inquired of the Lord, saying, shall I go up into any of the cities? Are you following me? Of Judah. Not the cities of Ephraim. I keep repeating that fact. We're going to see why Judah is very important. And the Lord said unto him, go up. And David said, whither shall I go up? And he said unto Hebron. Hebron speaks about a place of covenant. To a covenant people that are writing the law upon their hearts. So Judah, as we see here, was the first tribe that made David king, who is a type of Christ. Are you with me? Now the final point, we're talking about why the city of Judah. Why the city of Judah? I put it, I say, the city of Judah speaks of, to explain it, make it more clear, those that are watching, say those that are watching and praying, waiting earnestly for the manifestation of his glory. Let's say it together like we believe it. The cities of Judah speaks of those that are watching and praying, waiting earnestly for the manifestation of his glory. Those are the people we are talking about. So it's not talking about the local body alone. It's a company of people. So you see, it's a privilege to be part of that company, to be part of that city. There are those that are watching and are praying, waiting earnestly for the manifestation of the glory. That is what we are talking about today. And because of that, God has positioned them to be the first set of people to see the glory and to manifest it. See, that is what makes you a member of one of the cities of Judah. See, watch and pray always. That be counted what you stand before the Son of the Man when you are prepared. So once you are watching and you are praying and you are waiting earnestly for the glory we are, that is imminent, you automatically become a member of the cities of Judah. Let's put the scripture behind it so we can see what we're talking about. Numbers chapter 2 verse 3. God before time, using types and shadows, had positioned Judah. And with that, I said, and on the east side, toward what? The rising of the sun. And on the east side, toward the rising of the sun, shall they of the standard of the camp of Judah pitch throughout their armies. And Nashon, the son of Aminadab, shall be the captain. So God has already before time zoned Judah to face the east. A new day where the sun rises. So once you are part of that people, you are facing the east. Who will be the first people? There were how many tribes there? They were all around the tabernacle of Moses. But Judah was set apart. A company of people that faced what? The east. The tribe of Judah. The city of Judah. They are your own destiny to see. First see the rising of the sun. The dawning of a new day. The day star. Bible says that until the day dawn. So it's Judah that is going to make that announcement. And the day star arise in your hearts. Let's put the scripture behind it. Okay, next verse. Should move next verse. Okay. Yes. And his host and those that were numbered of them were 84,600. When you find this, let me know. I'll go back there. So, possibly, I'm trying to get something across. I believe it's very important. You see, we are in the day in which God is raising up Zion's armies. That pastor has preached. We have Joel's army. But there's an army of the tribe of Judah. That is why you find out that he will always say that the Lord is at the head of them. Talking about Judah. The breaker company. They are poised to see the rising of the sun. Speaking about the glory of God. Isaiah 59 verse 19. That's what we are talking about. Isaiah 59 verse 19. So, let's see. So, shall they fear the name of the Lord from the west and his glory from the rising of the sun. Where does the sun rise from, like we are told? From the east. From the sun. When the enemies are coming like a flood, the people of God shall lift up a standard against him. So you see, the fear of that is going to come upon the nations that will be manifest in the east is going to start from manifest in the west. It's going to start from the east. And it's Judah that will take that glory. Make that announcement and demonstrate it to the entire world that they will say, yes, this is what we're talking about. So that those are the cities of Judah that we're talking about. Always remember. Let me summarize as I move on. To be a part or a member of the city of Judah, you must be watching and praying, waiting earnestly. Are you following me? For the manifestation of his glory. That is what qualifies you to be a member of the city of Judah. That is where it concerns us. So our faces are towards the east, which speaks of the rising of the sun, the dawning of a new day, until the day star arises in our hearts. Praise the Lord. Now put it there, saying, why? Why is this message important? You know, I can mention it. I said, so that we in the city of Judah can hold fast to our confidence that has a great recompense of reward. I'll repeat. Why is this message to be sent to the cities of Judah? Where you know that, okay, if you are doing this, you know why? It takes time for the day to dawn. Are you following me? When God told them, he said, pitch your tent towards the east. Maybe that announcement was given around 6 o'clock in the evening. So we're 6 to 7, no sun. 7 to 8, no sun. 12 midnight, no sun. 1 a.m. in the morning, nothing. Then it's, you start saying, ah, but I thought you said that we are the first of the first fruits from beyond the rivers of Ethiopia. Ah, this is already 5 o'clock. No sun. Are you following me? But it says that, so that we, why is God making that announcement? So that we, in the cities of Judah, can hold fast. Say, hold fast to our confidence that has a great recompense. Because that sun, like it says in someone in Psalms, says as covenant, someone in Psalms, talking about the sun and the moon. Say, God has set them in the heavens. Surely the sun will rise tomorrow. Talking in natural. So that's why God wants us to hold fast. Say, hold fast. Hold fast to our confidence. That confidence that the sun will rise tomorrow in the natural. That confidence that because you have been positioned to the east, will be the first set of people that will manifest the glory. But say, the husbandman that laboreth have been first partaker of the fruits. So hold fast to that confidence. Don't let it go. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 35. Why? Because that's a great recompense of reward. The first, there's always a company of people that God will position. First, do that company that will always position to experience whatever is doing on the earth. And they are not always much. They are little. Say, though that has a little strength, we have kept the word of my patience and not denied my name. Hebrews 10:35 says, cast not away therefore your confidence, which has what? A great recompense of reward. God does not want us to cast away our confidence that has a great recompense. But why? The sun is about to rise in the east. So nothing must take you away from that upper room. That place of revelation. That's where it's going to come. Make sure nothing takes you away. Because God has ordained and has positioned you to face the east. Rising of the sun. Not that the others will not experience it though. But you don't sell your birthright for a muzzle of pottage. That's not the day to wander like Naomi and Elimelech to Moab looking for bread where there is no bread. We're in that season now that the announcement has been made that God has visited us once again in Judah, Bethlehem, Judah. Say, go and read it, Ruth chapter 1. I don't have time to sum there, it's not in my notes. It says, and Naomi heard that God has visited them in Bethlehem, Judah. Then she packed her things and started coming back. That's where we are now. Bread speaks about the type of the word of God. The rate at which the word is coming out is so fast. I said, Pastor, there's some other day, the other day, that I'm finding it a bit difficult to cope. I must be honest. Pastor Lalu will send their daily weekly rema. There is weekly rema on the weekly website. There are the golden nuggets. There is, what again? They are tweeting. Everything. That's not your own. Your Bible study is there. Those scriptures are there. Why? Because God has visited them in his bread. It's so much. So follow me. Revelation chapter 3, verse 11. Revelation 3:11. Moab there speaks about the flesh, so it's not a literal Moab. Behold, I come quickly. He's talking to the Philadelphia church. Say, behold, I come quickly. Hold fast that which you have, that which thou hast, that no man take thy crown. So it is what you hold fast to that determines whether you get the crown. Follow this woman. You know, when they gave talents to some people, when they was coming back with the reward, when he asked that one, he said, what have you done with this one? He said, I buried it. So he did not hold fast. He didn't multiply, he buried it. So he now took the reward that was supposed to be his own and gave it to the one that has five. So it's not, if you read the saying already, it's not that this will have the crown with them. No, it's coming. It's the crown that is coming with. And the Bible talks about a crown of glory in Psalm 8. You see, it's not a literal, there's a literal crown, I'm not denying that. But there's a crown of glory, a crown of life that is coming. That is why when they take those pictures in those days, they will show this halo. I follow me on the head. Like they used to take literally when William Branham was alive. It was no joke. Even Papa Ege. One day was praying and was probably took his picture and they saw fire all around him. That is the crown of glory. So hold fast to that which you have so that no man take that crown. Why? Revelation chapter 22, verse 12. 22:12, please. Revelation 22:12. And behold, I come quickly, and my reward is with me to give every man according to his work shall be. So he's coming quickly. To you he's tiring, but to him he's coming quickly. What we are talking about when the events of the things happening in the world, this thing is going to happen anytime from now. Everything is set. We don't have time to talk about other things that, but because we are supposed to look on the inside, not things that are going on, setting the stage for the Antichrist. We are supposed to build the kingdom of God is within you. So the second point I have said, I said that those in the city of Judah can go forth with the glory to break rule and disciple the nations. You see, when it comes, it's preparing us. So it's not that when it comes, that's not when we're going to start getting ready. You must be ready. So when it comes, ready, glory, manifest, everything will be set. So just move out. So I put it, I said, so that those in the city of Judah can go forth with what? The glory to break, set to break, to rule, and to disciple the nations. Why? So that the nations too can receive their inheritance. We must be ready. I believe by the grace of God we are ready in this house. I'm not bragging. I didn't say I am ready. As a body, we are ready. Under covering. Because everything is set. The primary thing that will bring the rain, the anointing, is the word. And it's there. Distilled. Well distilled. Are you following me? So, back to Isaiah 40, verse 10. You see, why God positioned us to go to the nations at this time? There's a threat, there's a famine. People are hungry. People are being fed, like we were reading from Ezekiel chapter 32 or so the other day. People are being fed, but with junk food. Not people are not being fed. They are being fed with junk food that cannot make them grow. And once they don't grow, they cannot receive their own inheritance. Who gives an inheritance to a baby? It's not a baby formula or whatever. No. The child has to grow. So behold, the Lord God will come. See in that same discourse. What? With a strong hand, and his arm shall rule. In the midst of his enemy. And rule for him. Behold, his reward is with him, and his work before him. Next verse. S level. Talking about the city of Judah. And he shall what? Feed. Say feed. His flock like a shepherd. He shall gather the lambs with his arm and carry them in his bosom. And shall gently lead those that are with young. That, as we speak, is not being done as it should be done in nations of the world today. That's why there must be the resident of a perfect church in every tribe and tongue and kindred. Will break the nations, the pastor said, will rule with all iron after Zion. And then will disciple them by teaching them to perfect the love of God. It is that love of God that we are taught to perfect that will bring down the glory. So you have a perfect church in every tribe and tongue and kindred. If that does not happen, we are not going anywhere. You may keep quiet. If that does not happen, there can be no rapture. I'll say it again. If there is no perfect church in every nation, tribe, tongue, and kindred, there is no rapture. Or else, if rapture occurs, that means you are not part of the perfect church. Yes. If nobody comes after a court tomorrow, or court yesterday, God forbid, that means you are not part of it. But the scriptures cannot be broken. Folks, God is in a hurry, and yet he's not in a hurry. If you are cooking food in natura, you may be very hungry, but you wait for it to be done before you eat. You don't want to cook a half-boiled rice and then eat it because you are hungry. God is hungry for the precious fruit of the earth until you receive the first and the latter rain. When it is ripe, then he will take it. Amen. He's not going to take grapes that are sour in his mouth. Amen. Somewhere in Isaiah says that. That he will set his teeth on edge. So we have to perfect the love of God. So, I'll use Paul as an example. It was the same commission that was given to Paul. Acts chapter 20, verse 32. Acts 20, 32. Notice, go to feed his sheep. That's where you and I are now. Begin to do those weekly grammar. Begin to read them. Begin to study. Begin to have an understanding. To be able to, like Peter says, to give up the hope that is in you with meekness. So they're not asking you in your office, what does it mean to be perfect? They say, let me check my weekly grammar. That will not be a portion in Jesus' name. You must be ready. You must be able to just tell them like that. What would have happened when God took Philip to go and meet the Ethiopian eunuch? The same scripture. The Bible says, he said, is he talking about this? Know what he said? He said, from that same scripture, he preached Christ. You know, I've discovered one thing in my own experience. Every message I preach goes to perfection. I'm telling you. Always. I don't know how. My Bible study, that's where it goes to. I don't know. I don't cook it up. I just pray. God, someone just take it back there. And God told me, they said, that is the whole purpose of a message. The dream is one. It's about his bride. Once you understand Genesis chapter 1 or 2, where it says that, and he brought Eve and gave him to Adam. I found, you understand what God is doing in the end time about his bride and his church. About the last Adam. When they buy for his son. So that is the same announcement that my Paul was saying when he was talking. He said, listen guys, talking about marriage. He said, you don't understand. It's not about you having children, just enjoying yourself. He said, I show you a great mystery. I speak concerning Christ and his church. Just like God presented Eve to Adam, he's going to perfect a perfect bride to the Lord Jesus Christ. That is the whole essence of the gospel. Any other thing is idolatry. Once you until Paul was said, when you marry, understand this is what is going, your husband. You see, you are washing with washing of water by the word. That's what you are doing as a husband. That's what the master too is doing. He says you ever live to make yourself for the saints, able to save them to the uttermost. So say, as you are practicing that with your wife, that should be pointing you to what the master is trying to do. Say, until he brings the father by without spot, wrinkle, blemish, or anything. So I speak a great message, but I speak concerning Christ and church. Then I went back and said, okay, anyway, you should reverence your husband and then you should love your unicorn. Maybe you have understanding. So Acts chapter 20 verse 32, what does it say? Are we ready? And now, brethren, I commend you to God and to the word of his grace, which is able to build you up and to give you an inheritance among all them that are sanctified. So if it does not, if you don't have the word, you cannot be built up. Because if you don't have God, okay, say, I commend you to God, I can get born again, and then to the word of his grace, is able to build you up and give you an inheritance. So if you are not born again, no inheritance. If you get born again, if you are not built up, no inheritance. But what I'm saying is that is why you and I have to be ready to be able to feed people with the word. It's that word and the spirit that builds you up as an edifice that the glory now fills. Acts, let's look at Acts chapter 26, verse 17. The same thing, where the master appeared to Paul and he called him. Let's look at it. Delivering thee from the people and from the Gentiles, unto whom now I send thee. So God is sending us back to the nations. Next verse. To open their eyes, and to open their eyes, and to turn them from darkness to light, and from the power of Satan unto God, that they may what? Receive forgiveness of sins, and what? Inheritance among them that are sanctified in faith that is in me. So in every nation, people without exception have been destined to receive the Spirit without measure. It's a hard thing. God, that's why I said, warning every man, teaching every man, that will present every man perfect in Christ Jesus. Now, will not, everybody will not. Either because they are ignorant or they refuse to heed instructions. So, God is not partial. He's not going to say, I will heal this one and I will not heal this one. I will heal the black man. No. Bible says we are all the sheep of his pasture, every human being, all men, everybody. That's why the responsibility of the sister of Judah is very great. Preaching the gospel is very good. So everybody will be given an opportunity to hear the gospel for a witness. So they can hear that word, grow up, inherit, and then manifest. As you can now understand, Bible says, as the old earth shall be filled with the glory of God. When Moses went to, let me get back to my notes. When Moses went to, when God put his anointing on 70 people, then King was very jealous. What's his name? Joshua. And said, so they are speaking, Then you know what Moses said? He said, woe to God that God will put it upon everybody. God wants to give everybody. It's more than enough. The spirit of that measure we're talking about, like Pastor says, is just the spirit of that measure is a measure of God's omnipotence. Abi, just a measure. It's not even a drop. So anyway, let's move on. So Micah chapter 5, verse 4, in Amplified. Micah chapter 5, verse 4. Amplified. Talking about. And he shall stand and feed his flock in the strength of the Lord. He's talking about a company. In the majesty of the name of the Lord is God. And he shall dwell secure, for then shall he be great, even to the ends of the earth. When the master appeared in the synagogue the first time, he said he spoke with so much authority. See, you're not casting out devils and bring. The master, when you see him, he cried. Come out! He said he used to tremble. That's the kind of anointing we're talking about. It's not the one that you are trying. Please come out, sir. Please come out. I can remember, God helped me to get my notes. I can remember when Kedeki said, the master appeared to him, Lord Jesus Christ. He said he gave him an anointing. He put his hand, one finger here, one finger here, he burnt. I said, if you lay hands on people, the thing will, if there's a demon there, the anointing will jump from one hand to the other. If there's no demon, it will go and then come back. So then people are on the healing line. Why am I saying this? So we can't be ready. You don't spare the devil. Because people are suffering. So people are coming to the healing line and they have been using that anointing. One body came. And then when the person came, the man had the back pain, couldn't stand properly. So anyway, Baba again prayed for him. So fire jumped from one hand to the other hand. It's a peculiar anointing. So, which means there's a demon involved. So, God has said, cast him out. So, he said, I cast you out in Jesus' name. He now said, bend down if you are okay, to see if you are okay. As man bent down, said, ah, yeah. Ah. He did it the first time, he said, but second time, but sometimes. So, Kendrick was like, we'll be that way, that way, that we all do to that. What is what this one now? God, you said that I should do this. I already announced that I gave my anointing. I already done it. No, no, we all do. He had done that, then he just kept on ministering to other people. Then he said, as he lost, looked back, he just saw the Lord Jesus Christ behind him. He said, his eyes were red. So he looked at him and said, I said, cast him out! You see, he didn't partner to his emotions. So there is an aspect of the Lord of hosts that we need to know. Because you see, when you begin to doubt, when he tells you to do something, you are calling him a liar. That was why, let me just digress a bit. Oh, let me feed Papa again. So he said, but I've already, he didn't tell him the answer. He just looked at him and said, his eyes were red. He said, cast him out! Oh. He said, he was getting jittery, he didn't know what to do. He said, somehow, you now remember, the thought now came to him that I used the word if. He said, the badge of doubt. He said, I believe in visions. He had already, when he said, cast him out, he said, if. That brought it back. So he said something, I can't remember clearly. He said that when you are a little baby Christian, God can tolerate some of your unbelief. But you start growing spiritually. So he now called the man back. He said, when he now understood, he said, he called the man back. And he said, he just said, he slapped him on the back. Or something like that. He said, come out, you foul spirit that you can call in Jesus' name. He said, get up and walk now. Then the man started walking. That is the kind of anointing that we are expecting. It's in the Bible, Joshua. God said, go and destroy the people of whatever, Jericho or whatever, after Jericho. They went there, they beat them. They were so confident that if they go to that place, they would defeat them. So they took a few people, just said, okay, and they were in the children's church. You go. And you might go this time around. Yes, go and read it. That's what they did. So the children's church, they went there. So when they went there, they beat them. They chased them and they ran. Then Joshua was very angry. Then he fell on his face before God. From morning to the evening, he was fasting, didn't eat. I asked questions. I said, but God didn't talk, sir. God just was looking at him. From morning to evening. I was saying, but God, now they are going to kill us. You have told us to do this thing. If you have told us before, why would I even go here? I just said my own. Yeah, yeah. That's what some of us say. When you practice the perfection principles and you walk in love, I started him to say, God, you see that? You said I will slap you on the other side. You turn down and slap me 4 times now. They're taking my salary and there's nothing that's come out. I said, no, no, no. Stand in faith. So God stood up and God spoke to him. He said, go and read it. Joshua said, get up. Go and read it. God wasn't begging him. He said, get up. He said, get up. He said, there's an accosting among you. Anytime you see you practice God's word and it does not work, it's either what you are practicing is incomplete, are you following me? Or there is something inside that is hindering, but never on God's side. Let God be true and every man a liar. So he told him, and then they all got up again. That's when they all called Achan. And now to say, Achan, give glory to God, though. Tell the truth. Then they don't want to kill Achan. And they went back and, yes, that's what he said. Come and read it. He said, give glory to God, though. He said, don't lie. That is honor God. He said, honor God. That is honor God by telling the truth. So they went and they disputed him. So what am I saying? 2 Timothy 2:2, amplified. When was you that day? God is committing this thing to faithful men that can teach others. That is where, as far as we are concerned now, you and I, as far as we are concerned now, is committing to men that can teach others so that you will not take the same message and go and twist it and teach the wrong thing. Are you following me? Are you the same? And the instructions, which you have heard from me, along with many witnesses, says transmit and entrust as a deposit to reliable and faithful men who will be competent and qualified to teach others also. That means not everybody that will be qualified. That are competent. The message is the same. I repeat, perfection is possible. You're not teaching it doubting. You're not saying it because you just stumbled in pride. No, because the master said it. You are competent and you are qualified. That's why I say in Hebrews, it says that if God permits, so it's not everybody, but it's for everybody. So let's be ready. Praise the Lord. So that is where we are. And the third point I have here, I put it there. I hope I've dealt with that. Thank you, Holy Spirit. I put it there, the third point. I say, so that we will not be deceived by the false altar that has been raised up unto idolatry. I read again. So that we will not tell that we are looking towards the east, waiting for the dawning of the new day to can see the sun. So that but there is an altar that has been raised up unto idolatry by Aaron. And people are running around it. If you look at the ratio of people that did not go around the altar, it was only Joshua that was not amongst them. Because it was with Moses on the mount. Exodus chapter 32, verse 4. That on the altar that has been raised up in the land to idolatry, covetousness. All the prayers that they pray is centered around what God can do for me, what God can give me, how much I can get. Man said that need oriented, entertainment based. Let's read that. And he received them, at the end, talking about the earrings and all that. I don't want to go to that story. And fashioned it with a graving tool after he had made it a gold molten calf. And they said, this be thy God, O Israel, which brought thee up out of the land of Egypt. No difference in the message. Behold, your God cometh. Go and check it there. In Isaiah, it's Elohim. Go and check it there. When it says, behold, the gods. Go and check it again. It's Elohim. Same message, different content. Same message. When I say same message, the same Bible, but they are preaching a different message. He said, behold, God is saying to Jesus, behold your God. Aaron is saying to the people, he said, behold your God. That God's there, go and check it. It's the same thing, Elohim, in broken. I checked it when I was praying. That is saying, this is God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. They are living for just to make sure you are blessed, you have a good job, you have a good. It is not wrong, please, to have those things, but you're not living for those things. What shall he profit a man if you gain the whole world and lose the whole soul? Your soul is the issue here. It's the soul of man that God needs. That's why we are in this school for so long. Like you go to school, university, you train your mind. You can go and inherit your father's business or whatever. So your daddy can come for you. You graduated now, yes. You've done your whatever. Okay, daddy owns an hospital. Okay, you're going to head this hospital now. In the natural. What do you think all the galaxies and all those things are for? That is why. Now, if you are not developed, they paid your school fees. You are still in secondary school. You are still misbehaving all over the place. And it's time. You think that man will give you anything? No. You would not give it to your servant. Shame. It's happened. I know some families that happened to. The man has spent so much, done everything to make sure. The foolish boy looking at the inheritance like this, that this is yours. But instead of paying the price to get it, he will not. He will be missing classes. Jumping around the whole place, going for parties. Then when he's now old enough, he can no longer go to school, now see him come back. All the dad can do is give him some money. Oh yeah, take. Just to sustain him. Then not look at that big whatever. Now give that thing to somebody else. Proverbs says that a wise servant shall partake of his son, you know, from a son that bringeth shame. So what are we saying? An altar has been raised to idolatry. And the purpose of that altar is to deceive God's people, so they will not grow into the perfection and the fullness of Christ, to keep on dancing around the golden calf, one to try and hinder God's purpose from coming to pass. We can't close the age. I follow you. And then they can't inherit. Remember, commend you to God, the word of his grace, and what? The build that is able to build you up. So the golden calf message cannot build you up to inherit. So how do we get this inheritance? No, we're talking about altar here. Verse 5, Exodus chapter 2, verse 4, let's verse 5. It's after he did the golden calf. In our time, the Bible speaks about prayer. So after he has set up that covetous image, you know, it says, and when Aaron saw it, that golden calf, he did what? Build an altar before it. And Aaron made a proclamation and said, tomorrow is a feast unto the Lord. So he made the altar, he made the golden calf. And I put an altar. An altar is where you sacrifice. Think about the place of prayer. So put an altar there. So there's a false altar in the land. So how will God turn this situation around? Are you following me? I put it there to summarize. Say God has raised up an altar of prayer most holy. By the end time Elijah ministry, so that the watchmen can see eye to eye. That is where we are right now. Speaking prophetically. There is an altar already raised up to the golden calf. A lot of people are dancing around. But to the cities of Judah, God has raised up another altar by the end time Elijah ministry. Let's put some scriptures behind it. Exodus 29 verse 37. If you notice, when mommy begins to pray in the mornings through the Good Morning Jesus prayers, you see an altar, most holy. That everything that touches that altar will be holy. Inaccessible to Satan. I'll explain as we go on. 29:37. 7 days thou shalt make an atonement for the altar. Just speak about completion. And sanctify it. This altar could not be made perfect until this time. And sanctify it, that be what? Let's go to an altar most holy. And whatsoever touches the altar shall be holy. Make sure you touch the altar every morning. Connect. Bible says that without holiness, no man can see the Lord. That's what I was saying earlier. So an altar has been raised and is most holy. And everything that touches that altar when you connect to prayer in the morning shall be holy. You see what we are going to now. I don't need to read it on 1 Kings chapter 18, verse 13. The first thing that Elijah did, we talked about it before, it was to repair the altar of the Lord that was broken down. There was an altar before that the prophet of Baal that raised up, but fire didn't come down. They now repair the altar of the Lord that has been broken down. Are you following my train of thought? And he said the altar must be most holy. And everything that touches that altar shall be holy. So that means whatever does not touch it does not remain holy. It is the altar that sanctifies the gift. Are following me? Now begin to understand scriptures like 2 Corinthians chapter 7 verse 1. Say, therefore, brethren, having these promises, let us therefore cleanse ourselves from all fitness of the flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of God. Holiness just speaks about the character of God. So without holiness, you cannot see God. So when we are screaming and say, behold your God, is the more you touch that altar and become holy. But see, without holiness, no man can see God. That becomes when he starts to see what we are saying. Can you link everything from the beginning? The announcement is to Judah, behold your God. But an altar must be raised up by the Elijah ministry that is most holy. And everything that touches the altar must be holy. Because without holiness, you cannot see God. So what does this altar do? It is this altar of prayer that is most holy that leads to the cleansing of ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and the spirit, thereby perfecting holiness in the fear of God in us, that we may see God. Make it very simple. Pastor, what are you talking about? The grammar is too much. That's what I don't understand. Very simple, my dear brother. Pray like Jesus Christ prayed every morning. Join the Good Morning Jesus prayer meeting to hasten his coming. Hebrews chapter 5 verse 7. Who in the days of his flesh, when he had raised up an altar, most holy, offered up on that altar prayers, supplications, strong prayers unto him that everything for death, and was certain that the fear, though were sons, yet learned your business at the things which suffered. He raised up that altar from about the age of 12. He kept on touching that altar, burning incense on that altar, presenting himself a living sacrifice to everybody. So one day, boom, the glory fell. So an altar has been raised once again by the Elijah ministry. The altar is the altar of prayer. It's not every prayer that you pray can make you holy, so to speak. Or that can remove the sin nature from your soul and your body. When you see that, they say, remove this one, put another mitre on here. It's not a literal mitre. Your body is giving you a turban. But they remove the sin nature from your soul and your body. And they put another one on you. The last scripture, I will pray. Isaiah 52 verse 8 amplified, and I will pray. Do a long message. Isaiah say, hark, let's go to hark, your watchmen lift up their voices together, they shall sing for joy, for they shall what? See eye to eye the return of the Lord to Zion. When that altar is raised up, you begin to see clearly. Without perfecting holiness in the fear of God. Because without holiness, no man can see the Lord. That is, without being perfected in the love of God, you can't see him. The measure of what you see is the measure of the perfection you have attained unto. So now begin to see eye to eye. When pastor comes and says this, mommy comes and says this, you too, you are seeing. You may not see, they say, but in their light, you see light. You start seeing what they are seeing. They all, you to be a watchman. You don't have to be a leader, that doesn't be a watchman. Once you join that thing in the morning, you're a watchman. It's a company of people. Hark your watchmen, lift up their voices together. They shall sing for joy. For they shall see eye to eye the return of the Lord to Zion. Next verse, I will quote, close. Break forth joyously. Sing together, you waste places of Jerusalem. For the Lord has comforted his people and has redeemed Jerusalem. Praise the Lord. Let's bow down our heads to pray. Let's talk to God. God has raised up an altar that is most holy. And God is screaming to the city of Judah, behold your God. And that altar is most holy. And everything that touches that altar shall be holy. Which is the prerequisite for seeing the Lord return. Without holiness, Hebrews chapter whatever says 12:14, put it on the board. Pastor Wega quoted it at the beginning of the service. Say, follow peace with all men. And holiness without no, with no man shall see the Lord. The Lord is coming to his temple. The whole Lord be silent. Hello, cities of Judah. Let's stand up to pray. Behold the Lamb.
Behold the Lamb. Upon the white horse. He in majesty,
faithful and true,
faithful and true, he triumphs now to rule and to reign.
Scripture flashed to me and I want to share it. When the master was on the cross, he looked at his mother, a type of a church. He said, woman, behold your son. He said, son, behold your mother. What are we saying? It was that son that took the mother to the upper room. What are we saying? God has raised up end time sons and he's telling his church, behold your son. Behold means see. Revelation. The sons of God. And he told the son, said, "You son, behold your mother." He's turning the hearts of the fathers to the children and children to the same principle. So behold, church, the son that God has raised up, his sons. Amen. And the fathers to behold their children. Amen. The next place is to go to the upper room. Let's put one out of our hearts and put the other one to heaven. So I say, Father, we confess our sins. And so we clean with the blood from all our righteousness, blocking our right standing with God. In Jesus' name we have life. Father, I thank you for your word that has come to me today, reminding me once again of the imminent manifestation of your glory. I come to receive mercy. I come to receive grace afresh, to take heed to the prophetic voice that is saying, behold your God. I also hold fast to that which I have as I partake daily to the prayer of the altar that is most holy, which we have raised up under the covering of the said spiritual fathers, to enable me to perfect your holiness in me, that I might see you as you really are and manifest your glory. Let's now pray in tongues. In Jesus' name. Let's say, Father, we confess our sins, and so we cling with the blood from all unrighteousness.